Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Mm-hmm.
Doing art today.
Yep, I think so. No stitch hour tonight. I think we'd established that, but just a reminder, there's no stitch hour tonight, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah. From this perspective, Mark and I are going to church, so it's
right.
Not going to happen.
Right. And I'm picking up Rachel at the train station, so yeah.
That's two
I won't be
now.
Here.
So.
Not unless Jennifer and Cindy want to get on, but I don't think so.
Probably not. So no. We'll be back to our regular schedule next week. So Wednesday podcast and Stitch Hour Wednesday night. Next week, that's the 30th. Sunday, that was so much fun. Anna McDowell, Dorset Buttons.
Yes. And that night I could not sleep after we spoke to her. All I could think of is I should go talk to the librarians about starting a class and teaching the kids or some adults how to make those dorsal buttons.
Yep.
I just got my little mind going.
Yeah, that's a cool thing because, you know, that's needlework that basically you can take, put in your pocket for all intents and purposes and take a project with you.
Right, right. It's nice and small. Just a needle and thread and a circle, something to make that circle on. So, yeah.
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 I was curious. She didn't have any examples, but I was curious way back in time, they used to use ram's sheep horns for the ring to make the buttons with. So I bet that was interesting to see.
Yes, because there's no way those could be regular.
Not circular or thickness or anything, no.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So what a pain it must have been to make them on those.
Well, yeah.
Because when you make them, you want those spokes to be even. So if you're doing something that's uneven to start with, then to make those spokes look nice, I just can't imagine.
And then all I could think about was you got to get them smooth so the threads don't snag.
Oh, yeah.
So, you'd empty out the center, right?
Right.
Somebody's got to file them down. I don't know.
I don't know.
But, great fun. Anna McDowell lives near where Dorset Buttons were made and get all the history and the different types and the whole thing. So that's Sunday. Good one.
Yeah, that was a great conversation.
A good one. Yep. All right, let's see. Hard to believe, but we are now looking at New Year's Day.
Yeah. And when you said November 30th next week, I was like, oh, no. It can't be the end of the year already. No way.
It can and it is.
Oh, how time has flown.
Yep. So we'll have a show on New Year's Day because it's Jennifer's 50th birthday. So we have to have a show for that, you know, excuse to wear the tiara.
Yes, absolutely.
So we were tossing around ideas for what, you know, starting a new project. And I think I'm going to sort it out so I can do the Jeanette Douglas flower pots on the Avlia cloth. I think I'm going to try that.
Yes. And I'd like to say, because when you guys were talking about that, I want to remind people that she is going to take those freebies down, I think in the end of December. So if you want them, you need to download them and save them because they will, that was what she announced. They were going to go away.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. And also there was some sort of little error, I think, with the November one. So if you downloaded it like November 1st, you might want to go and check because there was a little mistake and she corrected it on the following PDF.
Okay. Well, I had a note on my desk to download the December one right away. So I'll just get both of them because I downloaded the rest. But that's good to know she's going to take them down. Yeah, can't blame her. You know, that's a year of really beautiful free designs, and then yeah.
Right, and that would be fun to do as. Because I obviously have downloaded them. That'd be fun to do them as they do one a month, and then you'd have a finished project at the end.
Yeah.
And they're all gorgeous. You know, I watch people who have stitched them on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, those are so pretty.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like,
they really
just
are.
What I need, another project.
Yeah, they really are nice. They're a great design. So.
Yes.
And the thing is, standard flower pot, but she just did a really nice job with them. And so,
yeah, well, the colors are beautiful, and I could see, like, you know, making them into small little pillows instead of the big, like you're making it on that big Avlia cloth, which will be nice, but I could see making them little pillows and putting them in a dough bowl or gifting them, you know, making something to gift to a friend. I mean, they just are nice little patterns.
Yep. Yeah. That was a great idea on her part. So yeah, everybody, if you're gonna get them, if you've been putting it off, you better get on it. Yep, because we got 5 weeks of the year left. So
that's right. Download it if you want it.
So you gonna do a whip go next year?
No, I don't think so. I thought I was. I didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
I lost track of where things were, and I did the. Erase a project and put a new one in the box. But I decided I like, if I'm working on a project that I want to get done by the end of the year, I don't want to limit myself to 1 month or whenever it's called. I want to work on it and get it done so I can move on to another project that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And so I found out that that's what I was doing. I wasn't working on what was called. I was just working on the whip that needed to be finished. So I kind of thought, well, that's kind of silly to do whip go then, but it did help me keep at the beginning of the year, at least, concentrate on my whips and try not to add new starts, but that quickly disintegrated too. So
yeah,
I don't know how that goes.
Yep. Yeah. Not for me either. It was a big, massive failure for me. I feared it would be, I just, you know, time. So,
right. Yeah. Right. And you have deadlines. I mean, like for myself and Jennifer and even I think Cindy, for the most part, we don't have hard deadlines, like in our everyday life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you do with your magazine and maybe so you don't want it in your hobby too. You're like, oh.
Yeah. You know, that is true. That is true. It does suck the fun out of it, but, and I really thought it'd be a way that would get me going on some projects, but I just, you know, you miss a month and then you get behind a little bit in the next month. And finally it just was, forget it. Just forget it. I'm just going to beat myself up over something that I'm not going to be able to accomplish anyway. So.
Right. And this is a hobby. It's supposed to be enjoyable. You're supposed to be enjoying what you're working on. So, you know, why beat yourself over something like that?
Yep. Well, I didn't.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I didn't. I have almost reached the point on my banding sampler thing. You know that point where you get far enough along that you can see the end?
Yes.
And I think I'm almost at that point. I had that feeling Sunday it was, when I was watching football and stitching. I had that feeling, oh boy, if I just put a serious drive into this thing, I can get it done. And so I think that's where we're going to put the energy.
Yep. Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice. And especially here at the end of the year to have a finish. I think sometimes it gives you that feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get it all the way done, but I think if I put an effort in, cause I knocked off, I got another half band done already. So, I think so.
Yeah. Watch football and stitch.
Yep.
There you go.
So, we'll see. I think I might have a shot there. It would be cool to have one thing done. One more thing. That'd be two for the year, I think. Yeah. And a whole bunch of starts.
Well, we're always starting something.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something new to start and learn. And
yep.
I don't know. Yeah. And I'm almost done with the Avlia Aegean Sunrise. And I've been using it as my carry along project when I'm in the car or visiting my mother-in-law. It's the perfect piece for that. But I was stitching on it on Sunday also, and I looked at it and I thought, if I just worked on it a little every day, this might really get done this year. And then I'd have another finish, and that would be nice to have this one done. And it's a beautiful Aegean sunrise. My brother-in-law was looking at it, and he wanted to know if I used two threads in the rays part, the part that looks like the sunshine. He goes, it looks like you used two different colors. And I said, no, it was just one thread. It was the stitch. Mm-hmm. And he was just fascinated by it. You know, he doesn't stitch, and he never comments on my stitching. So it was I was kind of surprised. So he really, really liked the design. So, which was interesting.
So you gonna gift it to him or?
No,
no,
absolutely not. It's going on the back of my blue jean jacket. This is mine.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, I just think it's perfect for that.
Yeah.
Nice circle. I'll figure, you know, it's got a buttonhole stitch around the outer edge, so I can trim it there. It should hold together. I'll probably put interfacing on the back to give it a little bit of stability.
Mm-hmm.
And then stitch it to the back of my jacket.
Wow, excellent.
So, yay.
Something that does not go on a wall. Yay.
Right. And something I can wear and show needlework at all times whenever I wear that jacket.
Yeah.
So,
well, and those colors will look great on a jean jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. The minute I saw it, I thought, ooh, jean jacket. I know what I want to do with that.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Cool. All right, good call. Yeah, so gonna do any Christmas stitching?
I'm thinking about putting all my projects that are upstairs now, putting them away for the holidays. We'll get the tree out here at Thanksgiving, and I will bring out. Oh, what is it? I can never remember the name of this Santa, but it's Janet. Ziegler Casey's, and I can never remember her name. Janet Casey's. But anyway, it's a needlepoint piece, and I had started it earlier this year thinking, oh, I can just work on this. I haven't touched it since, and I'm going to bring that up because it's a small little piece and put it on a lap frame and stitch away.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to stitch. The only seasons I stitch for, I think, are fall and Christmas. So I always like to have some Christmas stitching going. So
in terms of you're stitching a Christmas project during Christmas, not to finish one to have for Christmas.
No, I'd like to, but it won't happen this year for sure. But I can't, I find I don't stitch on Christmas in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
I don't like to do it then. So the only time I stitch on Christmas is around this time of year. So anymore, very few things get done.
Yeah. But, to finish for next year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's the plan. The hope. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see. All right. I'm not going to.
But you don't.
I have that Santa. That's right. I could haul that out. But I don't know. I think this banding sampler, I think I'm going to be on a mission here. Yeah.
Well, it kind of doesn't check a couple boxes. I mean, it's cross stitch, so it's, you know, fairly straightforward. You're not doing anything fancy on it.
No.
But you get to pick your own. You're picking your own as you go, so you have to make design decisions.
Right. Yeah.
And I wonder if it hits a few boxes where it's relaxing because it's cross stitch. But it's not over, you know, but you still have to make creativity decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. There is some of that. Yeah. Because,
which
band,
I think it's.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so, something to that. Like I found myself last night, this band that I'm working on now, when I finish it, then I was thinking last night, well, wait a minute. Now what am I going to put next? And because I think it's time for one or two of the larger motifs from the Bristol samplers, crowns or something. So, yeah.
Okay, so how do you keep all those? Do you just go and dig through all your Bristol sampler patterns and find one you like, or you have them all together?
I have them all in a folder. And so when I finish a band, then I spread them out and see what one I like to do next.
Okay.
So,
So then do you go make a copy of the one you like?
Right.
So you can center it, you know, count it and center it or whatever you need to do.
Well, I don't bother with that. I make a copy, and that, of course, then copies a whole bunch of motifs. And then I just cut it out. So I have this little strip of paper that I use a needle minder to hold it. So it's right underneath my magnifier. So I never have to look up. It's always right there. And most of them, once you've done a couple of repeats, you don't even need that. But so I just do that, and I just have a whole bunch of them. And if it's a straight band, then it's just sometimes I feel like one that's going to flow right along where I can just stitch it and go. And one I'm working on now, you kind of have to do half stitches to get back to some point and then come back and go back and forth. But, you know, it just depends on how I feel at the moment. And so I think I'm doing three rows of motifs and then an alphabet row. And so then I just go through and pick out an alphabet, whatever it is, you know, and I'm doing the alphabet in order. So it's different sizes, different fonts from Bristol samplers. So I might do really big ones and get A, B, C, D on one row. And then the next time I do an alphabet, it might be really small and it'll be E, F, G all the way through J or something. But I keep it going. I started out, I was going to center the thing, center each one. And no, I just decided I'm going to start on the left side with whatever the full motif of the band is or the full repeat is, and how it ends up at the other end is how it ends up. I'm not going to, because I spent a lot of time trying to center it, and it just, forget it.
Right. And I don't think people really notice, because it's not like it's a huge, you're not doing like really wide sampler. No. You're just doing this little narrow piece.
Yeah. So, It was getting to the point where, wait a minute, this thing is just getting to be work now. You know, a lot of math going on here. Forget it.
And then it takes the joy out of it. I just want to sit and stitch sometimes, right. Nice.
I do with the letters, with the alphabet, obviously I do that. So I have full letters in the thing. So I'll count that out. But that's not as hard to do. I think we're at that point, very close, where it's drive it home, you know? Yeah.
So, and how much, I got to ask you, how much thread did you use on that?
Not a lot. I think I'm a skein. I'm into the second skein.
Okay, so you didn't get like a hank of an NPI?
No. No, I have four or five skeins, and I think I'm into the second one. I mean, I'll be lucky if I use three. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. No, I'm just curious to see. Hank would have been smart because
nope. I don't know why I thought you'd bought a hank for that piece, but
no. No, because when I started it, it was at Sassy Jack's, and so I think I bought two skeins and then realized I was going to need more. So then I ordered more, but,
It's a color you like, so you're going to use it. It's not like it's.
Yeah. Oh, that deep blue color. Yeah, I'll use that all day long. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty color. And it matches that banding so well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think so. I think the month of December, we're going to drive that thing home, see how we do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it'll be interesting because there's a thing I do. Well, I've done it 1 year, and I didn't do it last year because I was sick. It's called the Festive 500, and it's a group in Europe that every year you sign up to do 500 kilometers in the days between Christmas and New Year's.
To
ride 500 kilometers, you can ride it however you want, on a trainer, outside, mixture, whatever you want to do, but it's 500 kilometers, which is about 300 miles, a little over 300 miles in that time. So between stitching and 300 miles in the week between Christmas and New Year's, we're going for it.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and that's a great idea, though, because, you know, all the holiday treats, here you are, you're burning some calories at least, you know.
Yep.
That's a fantastic challenge.
And the cool thing is it's very popular, and so it becomes a global effort. And most people use an app called Strava that you track all your activities on. And so you join the club on there, and then it just keeps track for you. And yeah, it becomes a global thing. Everybody between Christmas and New Year's is scrambling to get 300 miles in. And you got to do, what is that, 8 days you have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got to do almost 40 miles a day, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
40 miles a day. Now, you know, that's okay the first two or three days. And then it starts to pile up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't take a day off unless you ride a whole bunch beforehand and get ahead and there's always show offs who 4 days in already have their 300 in, you know. So you shut
up. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, those people.
Yeah.
But, those people.
Yeah. It's a good challenge. It really is. And yeah, if you've been scarfing down the sugar all of December, it'll burn it off. Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's my December. Mm-hmm.
That's a good plan. That's a good plan.
Yep.
Makes me think I ought to go look and see if there's some sort of walking plan, you know.
I think there is. I think mm-hmm. there is, yeah. Get yourself a Strava account.
I should. My sister's on it. And in fact, she's funny. She says, you know, because we were walking one day and she goes, you know, it doesn't count unless it goes on the Strava.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
I'm like, okay.
Yep. That's right. It does not count until it shows. Yeah. No, it's free. I mean, just get a free one.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you track your running and walking and yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Cause that's the problem. You know, at the holidays, you know, there's all the treats around, you know, you're sitting more, maybe just visiting. And sometimes it's hard to get that exercise in, but a little challenge, you know, that kind of motivates me a bit. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, it's free. I mean, you get, of course there's a pay version.
Right.
But,
right.
No, you get all the functionality you need really, with the free one, just to track it. Yeah. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That
you and your
like
sister can have a competition of some kind. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, no, she's 6 years younger than I am. I don't want to compete with her.
No.
I don't know.
Kids these days.
I know. And she didn't break her knee either. So, you know, she could run circles around me. So I'm not into that.
Yep.
Well,
go for it.
Yeah.
For it. Yep. Free.
Yeah. She would cheer me on. That's the other thing. I think sometimes some of those things is.
Well, that's the fun, you know, that's the fun thing. Cause there's a guy in Spain or Portugal that, we connected and now we exchange messages every now and then. Cause he's had an off and on, a couple of years with his job getting in the way and hasn't been able to ride. And so we exchange, direct message kind of things and, several people, and then all the pros. I follow a whole ton of pro cyclists, And, you know, that's fun and demoralizing to watch what they do in a day, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. Went out for an afternoon ride and you look 100 miles. Oh, jeez. Yeah. And not just on a flat road through the mountains. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My training session for today. Shut up.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, give it a try.
Have to do that.
Yep. So you mentioned the creativity in the banding sampler. Yeah, there's a little bit, and it's fun to be able to pick and choose that. But that, you know, I wondered about that as a goal for next year, kind of an overriding goal. Do you try to, in whatever project you're doing, try to be more creative?
Yeah, I kind of am at that point where I'm thinking, okay, you know, how can I push my creativity a little bit? And it's because it seems like I'm, you know, I can follow a pattern, you know, and that's nice, but I kind of want to get a little bit more out of the box. Mm-hmm. And I know we have the Gay Ann Rogers mystery piece going. And that's, you know, to be creative with the colors, that's fun. But I just need to push a little bit. And so we've been talking to people, a lot of people here lately, because we're piling up some extra podcasts, and it just interests me how most of those artists, you know, they do a sketchbook. They don't necessarily follow the rules.
No.
They find a way to kind of bend the rules or break the rules a little bit. And I'm thinking, I need to do that. That might be a good challenge for next year. Let you know, how can I get out of the box creatively? And I'm not sure, you know, I normally do in January, there's something called the 100-day project where mm-hmm. you work on something for 100 days and you post it supposedly on Instagram. And last year I kind of cheated. I said I did 100 days of chocolate. I didn't eat chocolate every day, people. I just posted photos of chocolate every day. That was my challenge. With my stitching was basically it, but that wasn't really very creative. And I felt that. So, a friend and I have been discussing doing something with stitching. She's trying to learn more stitches. So she was saying, maybe I should do 365 days of stitching. And so we kind of been going back and forth about that. And that's been percolating in my mind. How can I use stitching to for like the 100-day challenge or any sort of these challenges. And one thing I thought about was Natalie Dupuis. Remember the color class we took?
Yeah.
Okay, so I never really did all the experimentation that went with that, where I physically, you know, you took the colors and you stitched them up to see what they look like next to each other. I did mm-hmm. some with paper, and I thought maybe that's what I should do. I should take and do little squares where I play with, you know, the primary colors and black and white and see what happens when I do stitching. Like, I like the chain stitch. I know some people don't. So, you know, do a square all in red, and then the next day next to it, real close, do it in yellow and then blue, and then start adding to it. You know, add, like, what happens if I add black and wrap it? Oh, you know, do keep going, not go over the red square necessarily, but do another red square that's got the chain stitch, and then you wrap it with black, a strand of black. Okay, what does that do?
Yeah.
So you can see it. So it's visual, and you're not just... So, and then at the end, I would have a sampler. So kind of what I've been thinking about, but it kind of makes me a little nervous because it's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's a huge commitment, but it also would help me with my color sense, I think. So that's the idea I've been playing with, you know, taking stitches and simple stitches mm-hmm. and starting playing with them with basic colors. And jumping off from there, but yeah. I don't know.
For me, I would, you know, comes to mind is to make a change. In, say, for instance, you're doing a Quaker sampler that has a whole bunch of defined elements. So make a change in every one from what's prescribed. You know, it doesn't have to be the whole thing in a different color, but make some adjustment or something that changes it, just to experiment, or leave something out.
Right.
Where it's a really full thing. You know, what happens if you leave something out? But just do little bits of creativity, just to see what happens. The old what if question.
Right. Right. And there's so many, you know, I've started trying to inventory my stitching, which is.
Oh, film that.
Oh, that would be so boring. But,
video that.
Watching me type in my projects. But I think it would be fun. You know, I have so many that have, that aren't just cross stitch. Not that there's, I like doing cross stitch. I don't mean to say just cross stitch, but they're more than just cross stitch. They have, you know, the needlepoint pieces, or I have white work pieces that I've started, or, and I think going and doing those and then using those as a jumping off point to do something on my own is the other thing that comes to mind for creativity. I think we've talked a lot to people about we're afraid, you know, when we get to a certain age, we no longer want to try new things. You know, we get stuck in these ruts. And I think as needle workers, or at least for me, I'm afraid to say, well, I know these techniques. Why don't I try something on my own? I think that it's just so that blank canvas, that starting something is frightening. But yeah, maybe, I don't know, taking one of those white work pieces and changing them just a little bit, or adding white work to something.
Yeah. Now see there. Yeah. There's something. Yeah. Yeah. Change, you know? Do something in the background.
Right. Right. Yeah. Cause there's so much out there. There's so many techniques that I want to get better at. And, especially white work right now, I guess. You know, we have that. I've been working on the 17th century sampler, and I realized because I only do it maybe one day or a week, or it'll come up once a month and I'll work on it, that my tension isn't great on the needle weaving part.
Oh.
I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
But that's something that needs more practice. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get more practice is to do it more often. And so I think, you know, to get better at that. And then to do your own needle weaving, Hazel Blomkamp takes all those needle weaving techniques and puts them on her pieces. Or they're not needle weaving, they're needle lace. But
yeah,
it's the same sort of idea, you know. There's something about that appeals to me.
See, I like I forget who it was we talked to who has a slate frame set up all the time just to go over and practice on.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It'll come to me when it doesn't matter anymore. But you know, that still appeals to me as a thing, because when you say, you know, there's lots of techniques I'd like to try.
Right.
You know, just set up a piece of cloth, and you don't really care if it ever becomes anything, because it's never going to become anything. But just to go over and say, all right, I'd like to try this white work technique. So I'm just going to do it on this corner here with this motif and see what happens. And you know, if it's a train wreck, it's a train wreck. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just so you might have a half dozen different techniques on there, you know, black work, gold work, whatever. And just a place to just go play. no expectation out of it. You know, if it's a sloppy mess, it's a sloppy mess, you know, so what?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the things that I was thinking about with this 365 days of stitching is doing something. So, because after a while, I know I'll be like, okay, I just don't want to do with color anymore. But that's a great idea to say, okay, well, this month, I'm just going to experiment with doing white work stitches. And I'm going to just start playing, you know, just start putting some stitches down and trying things and seeing how it works.
Yeah.
If it's all a mess, that's fine. The idea is to play, to take time to learn something, to experiment a little bit. That's a great idea, though, to add the white work to it.
Yeah.
That's my other fear is that, you know, okay, I've done this for a few months or you've done it for a while and you're like, okay, I'm bored with this. Now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe add white work to the list and that just opens up a whole nother level of stitching.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's ways. I think part of the creativity thing is if you truly want to be more creative is to get away from the projects, get away from the charts and the set of threads and a piece of cloth and just take a blank piece of cloth and whatever thread, you know, maybe even ignore the color, just whatever thread and try something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to see what happens. And then if along the way you say, well, wait a minute, I kind of enjoy this and this was neat the way this worked. And, you know, because you could see it like a blackwork piece, just go stitch a 3x3-inch square of black work to start. And, you know, this is kind of neat. And then, you know, what if I use thicker thread to give that shading effect and so on and so forth? Then you go, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'll go actually do a black work piece. But just try it. See what happens.
You know? Right. Yeah, there's the fear of, oh, am I wasting my time sort of thing. You know, time is one of the most precious resources we have because you can't get it back. You can't go backwards with it. But I think that it would satisfy some sort of need of being creative that I'm missing right now. And just to go and play to say, okay, it doesn't matter. It does. So what if it's a train wreck? So what if I hate it or it looks ugly? I don't have to show it to anybody.
Right.
This is just for me. This is my own piece to play with.
No, and that's just it. And then you take all those boundaries off. You take the boundary off of the picture on the cover of the chart that you're trying to emulate. And this bunch of threads is for this project and this project only. And this cloth is for that. And just chuck all that out the window and just grab a piece of cloth, whatever thread. If you want to work on color, then get some threads that go together. And if you don't care about that, then just grab a couple threads and just do it and see if you like it. See if you know, that's the other thing. You know, I want to try a new technique. Well, what if I hate it? And then I bought a project for it, you know, and then I got this project. Well, then don't buy a project. There's plenty of examples online for how to do all of them. So just go do it.
right. And you know, get a scrap of something and just play with it. You know, and it's easier said than done. I think we kind of box ourselves in because we do have a lot of projects.
Right.
I mean, that's why it's laughable that I'm doing trying to do an inventory of my mess. But
it's more than laughable. When we're done recording, it's gonna be hilarity on this end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or embarrassing on this end. but you know, so there's that kind of that guilt feeling I think some of us have. It's like, oh, but I have all these projects that I have. You know, I have these kits and it's like, well, but like you said, you know, so what? You know, just, you know, that's fine. Let them go and go play for a little bit. And I think it helps your brain. There's just something about it. I think it, when we get stuck in these ruts, but it's good to get out of the rut and try something new.
Yeah.
But
we've been interviewing here in the last couple of months a lot of people from Europe, UK in particular, and their approach is almost always create it for yourself. Why go get something? Create yourself. And, you know, I think part of that is, and part of what drives that is they don't have any rules. They're not starting out with a set of rules on a sheet. It's just, here's, you know, the blank slate. And, you know, it's like when you were drawing there, was it last year or the year before? I forget. And you were doing some drawing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that was cool. And it was fun to watch what you posted. And I felt like I was seeing that you were getting better at it. And just in the short time that you did it. And but that was something where you just took, you know, basically whatever was in front of you and tried drawing it. And I thought that was a neat thing to just gain some skill, whatever it is, and however it manifests itself later. But, yeah, I mean, and I thought I was seeing some progress. I thought, wow, this is.
Well, thank you. I think, and I looked back on that. There was a time when I kept it up for like a month where I wasn't posting pictures. And the only thing I could see in front of me for a while was, believe it or not, my shoe. I think it was when I broke my knee. And I was like, okay, I don't want to go get anything. I was tired of drawing my coffee cup, which is the other thing I would draw all the time. And I started drawing my shoe. And then I started giving myself challenges. I couldn't do the shoelaces, though.
Yeah.
They were very difficult to draw. Mm. And so, but by the end, so I would ignore them. I just wouldn't draw them. I would leave them out.
Because you
and
can.
But by the end, by the time I stopped doing the drawing, I could get the shoelaces. Now, they weren't great. They weren't, you know, no great shoelaces, but I could get them so it looked like a shoelace.
Yeah.
And it looked like a shoe. So you could look at it and you say that it's definitely a tennis shoe. But, you know, I, of course, stopped doing that. You know, my knee healed and healed. And so I thought, well, I have other things to do. I can't just sit here and draw my foot. I can move now.
Yeah. Yeah. Use it for what it's intended. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's, and that's the kind of stuff that you do that. And then you start to see where the shadows fall and how the shapes work. And then Does that make you better at designing your own needlework, or does it help you see a way to modify something you're working on because you have a better grasp of how light is playing when you do the drawing? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that that's why a lot of times I'll ask people if they keep a sketchbook. Because I'm curious about that. You know, do you sketch things before you stitch them, or do you just start? You know, that's the my question, and I think it does make you better, because you have to know where those shadows lie. I know I did Kay Stannis's Spring Splendor, and it's silk shading, and I think I would have done better at it if I'd done some practice drawings with shading and just drawing it out and then practicing shading it and then done the silk shading on it, because I just didn't see it when I was stitching it.
Yeah. I think there's something to that. Like one of the people we've interviewed here recently is Helen Stevens, and she has a tremendous amount of talent. All right. She does a video where she's showing a Piper silk thread and how she uses that. But it's, you know, it's irritating but fascinating. She just has a piece of cloth. It's a piece of cloth and a hoop. And she just takes a pencil and just starts drawing a design on there to stitch, a flower and a vine and a couple leaves. And I sat there and thought, holy smokes, lady, you know, you're just doing that. And there's no pattern. She's not tracing. She's not doing anything. She just draws it, and then by the time the video's over, it looks like a beautiful vine plant with a flower, and she didn't do anything special. She just had, she knew the leaf, the general leaf shape, and she even says these leaves are kind of random in their shape anyway, so you can pretty much have at it, and she does. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, you have this piece you'd love to have to hang on your wall, and I'm sure she just threw it in a drawer.
Yeah, but I think that's practice too. You know, yeah. She's obviously done a lot of it, you know, because she's quite a talented lady. But I think that's the other issue that I tend to have, is that I won't take the time to practice that. I know if I ever wanted to get better at drawing, I mean, I'm never going to be a great artist or anything like that, but I need to practice it. That's the only way. You know, you can't just say, well, I wish I could draw well. Well, you're not going to ever draw well if you don't practice it. And I think the same goes for stitching. I think that, you know, like I was saying with the white work, the reason why white work isn't very good is because I don't practice it enough. It's one of those, it requires a little more attention to the tension, to the detail of it, to the how much tension you put on your thread, how you put the tension on your thread, how you anchor things makes a difference. There's lots going on there, and you just can't say, well, I'm going to do it once a month and think you're going to get good at it, because it's just ain't happening.
No,
it ain't happening.
No. Well, and that's one of the beauties. You know, you say my tension's not good there. So go work on that, and then just think about how much better all your stitching will become if you're better with your tension.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, so that's what I like about this hobby, is using one technique pays off elsewhere almost every time.
Right. And, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, the creativity thing is, I think you start small, and we talk about in the trade magazine that I do, which is for manufacturing plants, and you talk about, all right, you want to convert you want to digitize your plant. So you have a bunch of old equipment that runs manually, and you want to start putting sensors on it and collecting data about how it's behaving so you can track it and maybe repair things before they break. And one of the most accepted technique is to start with a pilot plant project. Start small, get some victories, then take those victories and pass and move on to a bigger project. And same thing with needlework. Start small, just dabble a little bit and get better at that, and then expand from there and keep going till, you know, you're turning out some beautiful white work. And
Yeah. Or you find out you hate it, and then you just need to get rid of all those projects that you have.
There's that.
Yeah. There's something, though. Why is, you know, I think white work draws you, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about that just, you're like, why? That's the other question I ask myself a lot, is why does white work draw me so much? Because it's not, I haven't done enough of it to get really proficient at it. Is it because
I know why it draws me.
Okay, why does
it
draw you?
Exactly why it draws me. It's white on white. So there's a challenge there. But for me, it's the amazing things you can do without any color.
Yeah.
The texture, the look, the feel, you know, if you've got open holes, daisy eyes or what, you know, any of those things, that's what does it for me. That's what I think it is so cool, is because you've just taken color completely out of the equation. Just it's a non-factor, and now you're going to make something that has depth, texture, and a pleasing thing to the eye, all with white. And I think that's what attracts me with the black work. You're just doing, you're creating a visually dimensional piece. It's all flat, and it's just thickness of thread. And
space of, and the it's the stitches. If you have, so the stitch itself can be more, you can leave some things out to get depth too. That's the interesting thing about black work, to get that good. And see, now that's a technique, the black work especially, where I think you need to have an idea of shading. So drawing would help with that, because if you don't see, you don't know how to put shading in, how can you know how to do the black work? And I think, you know, I'm just, it's one of those things that, I think you need to get better at. I need to get better at if I want to improve my skill in black work or in, well, even white work, because white work to get the shading and the texture in, you know, you need to be able to do some sort of shading work.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But you know, there's your practice piece again. Black work. Mm-hmm. Take a 6x6 inch square and do nothing but, can I go from barely visible thread to dense thread in that 6 inch distance?
Right.
Nothing more. Just choose whatever pattern, and how can I learn how to do that just by changing thickness of thread? And I don't even know how it all is done. But in that 6 inch space, can you go from essentially white to essentially black?
You know what? And I know what brought this all on. It was an EGA lecture. Kate Duguid.
Mm-hmm.
She did a Fiber Forum lecture that I snuck in under the wire. I was, they sent a note out saying, hey, we have a space. And I was like, yep, I'm in. I don't care what else is going on. It's being canceled. She was doing that. That's what she was doing. She was doing experimentation with threads, experimenting with colors, and like a Monet painting. How did Monet get those blocks of color in? How did the Impressionists do? And that's what made me think about it for this 365 challenge. And see, I'm taking little notes here because I like that idea of taking, because you just pick one of the stitches. Yep. Now you start with a thread. You know, I don't know if you could go white, but pick maybe a gray, not black. I guess you could start with black and then move it down. You know, I think I'd start dark and move to light.
Uh-huh.
That makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
And then start with light and go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
But no, either way.
Yeah.
Either way. And then all you need is DMC thread for that. I mean, yeah, you could, because you start with maybe 6 strands or 8 strands, make it really thick. And then move on from there.
Yeah.
You know, if that didn't work, you say, okay, that didn't work. I need to add something thicker. I'll try a different thread. Add more, whatever. I think that's a great idea with the black work. Yeah. See, I'm taking notes, Gary, here, because you've got my little mind is spinning again.
Yeah. See, and this brings back, it was Jennifer that was taking the Trish Burr book.
Mm-hmm.
On and just doing the little color swatches she had is in there to learn how to thread paint.
Right.
And they were just little swatches, and she just stitched them just to see what the experience was like. But again, you eliminate the boundaries and the rules of a project.
Right. Right. It's just a way to play.
Yeah.
What if I do this? What if I try this?
Yeah. Because who said you always have to be working on a project?
Right, right. You don't.
No.
You don't. And see, that kind of boxes you in.
Yeah, we get that mindset. You know, that's the mindset. The latest project, and, I got to have that because my friends are working on it. But maybe there's just some days. Maybe, you know, Friday is creativity day, and all the projects get shoved on outside, and you just sit there and play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. or 15 minutes a day if you have that kind of time. And that's more for me. I'm thinking, what if I just set a timer and said, okay, I'm going to work on this for X amount of time and try to do it every day. And it has to be something that's portable, put in a little box, have its own little project thing.
Yeah.
And the only parameter is that it's good to have some limits when you're doing those sort of things. Cause if not, if it's too loosey goosey, you won't do it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And along with that, you know, all right, how do I stitch this particular thing, whatever it is, or do this stitch, make a copy out of whatever guide it is, cut it out, and just have that little piece of paper. So you don't have to haul a book. You don't have to haul a big chart. Just have that little piece of paper that you take with you and, wherever you stitch, and you just use that. Just simplify it all the way down so it's just the stitching and the experience of doing it. Yeah.
Right. Right. And it just takes a lot of those distractions away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How far did I get on my project today? I didn't, because I didn't have one.
Yeah. But I learned something.
Right. Right.
And that's just as important, you know, is that learning, you know, it's fun to learn something new or to better your technique or whatever.
Yeah. There we go. See, something, something to work on for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea why we always think of these things as something to work on next year. Who said you couldn't do it right now? You know?
for me, it's getting to be the holiday season. So I, you know, at this time of year, I generally do a lot of cooking. So I need to make sure I do that Strata thing on my phone so I don't gain weight when I start making like toffee and peanut brittle. Because it's going to be a sugar high around here soon.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Get a Strava account. Load it up. Yep.
I'm going to need it.
All right. That's going to be it. No stitch hour tonight. Regular schedule next week. Dorset Buttons on Sunday. Don't miss it. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.